Regardless of what people say to me, I'm moving. Regardless of how you look at me, I'm moving. I'm moving because God told me to move. I can't sit here and die. Why am I just going to sit here? Why? Get up, move, do what God has told you to do.
The words of men and the word of God are not equal. The words of men can be subjected to lies, fear, and doubt. The word of God brings life, hope, and promise. We must be willing and able to move in the direction that God instructs us, even when things appear to be hopeless or even impossible. Come let's join First Lady Tamara Hornbuckle as she explains.
Amen. After all of that, I hope I can live up to that. Amen. I'm not a missionary, but I'm a child of God. Amen. I know and last Sunday when I was on my way out, I went out to church to do something, and Pastor Hornbuckle said, yeah, my wife's going to be bringing the message next Sunday. I was like, really? I am? And then, of course, as soon as he said my wife is going to be bringing the message, I start praying and asking God, what do you want me to deliver to his people? I got sick. I was sick all week long. I didn't feel like reading the Bible. I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like doing nothing because I just did not feel well. And I was like, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. Like, I just don't feel good. Do not feel good. But, you know, God is great anyway, even despite, you know, how we feel. And so I asked God, you know, what would you have me to say to his people? Because when you get up in front of people, when you get up in front of God's people, you want whatever comes out of your mouth to glorify him. Am I right? And you want it to be something that the people can apply to their lives. And also the message comes to us as well. Amen. It comes to me as well. Something that I can apply to my life, something that God wants me to perhaps do, something that God may want me to do again that I didn't do before. Amen, amen. So I don't intend to hold you long. Amen, but I will give you what God gave to me. And so I want to start with a question. I want to ask you a question. I want to know, have you ever been at a place in your life when you had to make a really important decision? And I think we all have been there, amen? Where you had to really make an important decision. You didn't know why you were in the situation you were in. You didn't know what you were going to do. You didn't know who to turn to. You're desperate. You're running out of options. You feel like you're literally standing at a crossroad. You're asking yourself, should I stay? Should I go? Should I go left? Should I go right? You know what? Or maybe I should just sit right here. Just sit right here and do nothing. Your future, your family's future, your career, your relationships, your life dependent on that choice that you make. Granted, some of us, we do make the right choices. We do end up making the right choices. However, there are some of us that are still at that crossroad waiting, wondering, what am I going to do next? So I want to relate a few stories to you that hopefully will inspire you to move. That's my word. Keep that word in mind. Move from where you are now to where God wants you to be. And this story is going to be from the book of 2 Kings. And 2 Kings is in the Old Testament. And its setting is during the time of the prophet Elisha. And at this time, there was lots of chaos going on in the land. The surrounding countries were warring or threatening war against God's people, the children of Israel. They were in a panic. And the prophet Elisha had pronounced famine on the land because God's judgment was against his people because of their disobedience. So on top of war, there was also a terrible famine. And the Bible even says that the people had resorted to boiling and eating their own children because there was no food. They were boiling and eating their own children. So they were in dire straits. This was the worst of times. Let me tell you a little something about the prophet Elisha. Elisha was mentored by the prophet Elijah. Elijah, we know about him because Elijah was the one that's well known for that showdown that he had with the prophets of Baal. And if you don't remember that, this is where the prophets of Baal had dared, or the prophets, or Elijah had told the prophets of Baal to come and to build an altar. And they were going to determine whose God was the greatest God. And the prophets of Baal had begun to cut themselves, and they danced, and they sung, and they screamed, and they hollered. Not one word. Not one word. Elisha began to mock them. Where is your God? Where's your God? Where is he? And he even said, when it came to his turn, he said, I want you to put water all around the altar. Long story short, when Elijah called on God, God sent fire down from heaven, and God destroyed everything on that altar. And so Elisha, he followed Elijah wherever he went. Until Elijah turned around and said, What do you want from me? Why are you following me? And Elisha said, you know what? I just want a double portion of your spirit. Isn't that amazing? How one person can have such a positive effect on you that you want to be just like them. And the story goes on that Elisha was called to heaven in a chariot of fire. His mantle dropped to the earth. Elisha picked it up and continued to carry that legacy on. Amen. And then Elisha, he's that prophet that instructed the widow. Remember the story of the widow woman? It was just she and her son, and she was in debt. And she spoke to the prophet and said, all I have is a barrel of oil. And the prophet said, go and get all of the pots, thank you. Go and get all of the pots that you can find. She did that. She moved and got all the pots. And they began to fill, from that one pot of oil, they began to fill all the pots until she ran out of pots. He also prophesied to the barren woman. We don't know her name, but the Bible says she was the Shunammite woman. He prophesied to her that she was going to have a son. She did, but her son died. The Bible says that when her son died, she moved. She told her servant, saddle up the donkey. We're going to see the prophet. And because of the prophet's prayers, her child was brought back to life. Elisha also is known for telling Naaman, and we remember Naaman. He was the captain of the Syrian army. He had leprosy, and God had him send for the prophet. And the prophet, he didn't go, but the prophet told him, go wash in the Jordan River. And Naaman, even though he was angry that the prophet didn't come see him, at the end of the story, he moved. And he did what the prophet said, and he washed in the Jordan, and he was healed. And I tell you about each of these encounters because each of these people had to move in order to make their situation better. The widow, she had to step out of her house and gather the pots. The Shunammite woman, she had to saddle her donkey and get to the prophet. Naaman, though he was angry that Elijah didn't come see him, he had to move to the Jordan River to get his healing. If they hadn't moved, they wouldn't have got what they needed. So I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 4 through 15. And I don't see my son back there to put the scripture up on the screen. So if you can go there with me. Second Kings chapter 7, verses 4 through 15. I don't have my giant size Bible, so forgive me if I miss a few words. It says, chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, even the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel have hired against us as the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, 'I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.' And one of his servants answered and said, 'Let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see.' They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, 'Go and see.' And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king." So like I said earlier, there was a terrible famine in the land, and God's people were dealing with the threat of war from the Syrians. But in the midst of all this, the writer focuses on four leprous men who were sitting at the gate of the city. And I'm sure they were talking about what was going on, about current events, what was happening in the land. But in the midst of their conversation, they stopped. And almost like a light went on in their heads, they looked at each other and they said, "Now why are we sitting out here? Why are we out here? We should just take our chances and go in the city." And that was profound coming from them, because in the Old Testament, if you look at the Jewish law, lepers were not supposed to be in the city. There were strict rules concerning the lepers. They were unclean. They had to announce themselves as unclean. They couldn't be near other people. The priest had to declare whether or not they were cleansed from their leprosy in order to go back into the city. So the lepers ended up homeless, beggars, ostracized, a life outside of the city. But these men, there's something about them, because they were bold. It didn't matter. It did not matter that they were unclean. It did not matter that people looked at them as unclean, not fit to be in the city. They were in a situation that they no longer wanted to be in. And little did they know, they were about to take that step toward changing their situation for the better. So let me ask you, have you ever been tired of where you are? Go ahead, you can shake your head. Have you ever been tired of the way you are? Then it's time to move. Time to move. These men decided to take a chance. They said to themselves, what can we lose? If we stay out here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we might die there. They figured if they went in, they'd probably be taken captive by the Syrian army. Died by the Syrian army. If they stayed outside, they were going to starve to death. But they were willing to move from where they were to where they knew they should be. And that was inside the city. I say that because it all starts with you. I can't make you move. You have to want to move. You have to decide, I need to move. There's nothing for me outside the city. Because back then, outside the city is where all the trash was. The people threw their trash over the walls. When the priests sacrificed and they had the leftovers, they took the leftovers outside of the city. So their best alternative was to go in. You don't have to sit outside of your blessing. Go in and get it. They asked themselves, why? Why? Why are we out here? That question is for you. Why? Why are you sitting there? What's holding you back? Why are you still in the same spot that you were in yesterday, last week, last month, last year? Why can't you get out of this rut? You know, it's not God's desire that you sit there and die. All he wants you to do is take that step. Move forward. Move closer. Step towards him. So what are some reasons we don't move? Some reasons why we just sit there. Sometimes we're holding on to the past. But the Bible says we are to forget those things which are behind. To press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we won't move because we're afraid. But the Bible says perfect love casts out fear, and that he will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on him. Sometimes we won't move because family. But Jesus said, if we are not able to put God before our families, then we cannot be his disciples. I'm not saying to cut your family off. I'm not advocating that at all. But sometimes if your family is getting in the way, you might just have to move around them. Might just have to move around them. Sometimes we don't move because, you know what? We might just be comfortable right where we are. Right where we are. But the Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion, that's gotten comfortable, it's gotten lackadaisical, that's gotten, as the young people say, whatever. I don't care. Woe to you when you get to that point where you don't care. Sometimes we don't move because we have ill feelings towards our brothers, towards our sisters. But the Bible has an answer for that. The Bible says to leave your gift at the altar and to be reconciled with your brother and your sister. So as you can see, we have many excuses for not moving, but the Bible has an answer for every excuse. So stop excusing yourself for not doing what God has told you to do, because God has given each of us a measure of faith. You don't need a whole lot. Did you know that faith the size of a mustard seed, and I hear a mustard seed is really small, that faith can move mountains? Your situation, your marriage, your family, your job, your career, whatever it is, would be a whole lot better if you would just move. Don't be complacent. Don't get stuck in a rut, because the enemy will use it against you. He will have you thinking that I'm all right, just the way I am. But the Bible says he comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. He will have such a hold on you to keep you from moving that all your opportunities for growth will just pass you by. Your enemy is not in the city. Your enemy is not, let's just stylize the city as the church. Your enemy's not in here. It's not in here. Your enemy is out there. That's where the enemy is. He lingers outside the city. He lingers outside the church. Right where he can keep you if you don't make up your mind that it's time to move. Look what happened to these men when they entered into the city. God worked a miracle. The scripture says that God caused the enemy, the Syrian army, to hear chariots, to hear horses. And in a panic, they left. All of them. They dropped everything. Left the city. Left everything behind. The Bible says that the lepers went into the city and they went from tent to tent, eating and drinking and taking the spoils of what was left behind. So see what you miss out on when you won't move? You see what could happen when you won't move? With the enemy, there's only poverty and despair. But with God, there is life, and that more abundantly. But you see later, these men, they didn't get greedy. They didn't keep it all to themselves. They told somebody. Because they moved, they were able to help hundreds, thousands of people. People were fed. People's lives were saved because these four men moved. You don't want to be the reason that somebody else, your friend, your family, your coworker, is hindered from their blessing because you won't move. Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't die because of me. Don't die because of me. Because moving requires us to get out of our comfort zone. No one likes to move. No one likes to move. In the last year, in the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years, I've moved at least 8 times. And each time, I hated it. All that wrapping and packing and unwrapping and unpacking. It was time consuming. I didn't want to. It would have been nice to stay right where I was, and I didn't have to move. But you can't stay where you want to stay all your life. You cannot stay in the same spot all your life. You have to move. If you don't move, you're going to kill yourself. You are killing yourself if you don't move. And I'm talking about spiritually. I was using that natural example to give you a spiritual example. If you don't move in your spiritual life, you will kill yourself spiritually. And you don't want that. Just think about it. We have the same routine every day. We get up, we go to work, we come home, we go to bed. Cycle starts all over. We get up, we go to work, we come home, we go to bed. And the sad thing about it is some of us are so used to doing that that we become desensitized to the world around us because we're comfortable doing what we do. And that happens naturally, so too. We got comfortable doing what we do. So everything around us, we're not sensitive to it. We're not sensitive to the Spirit of God speaking to us. We're in our comfort zone. And God forbid somebody ask us to do something new, because we will get upset. Upset because you're breaking my routine. I don't do that. God asks you to pray more, fast more, read the Bible more. That's not my routine. I don't do that. I'm not comfortable with that. But God is asking you to move. Here's a good example. You guys, you all might chuckle at this. Some of us come to church and we sit in the same seat every Sunday. Am I right? We sit in the same seat every Sunday. I do that too. I sit right over there. Same seat every Sunday. But I want us to experience something new. What it feels like to try something different. I want you to work with me. Are you willing to work with me? Are you willing to work with me? All right. All right. Work with me. Work with me. Okay. So when I say move, I just want you to get up and move. All right. When I say move, I just want you to get up and move. When I say move, I say move. I said move. I said move. That goes for the musicians too. When I say move, I just want you to get up and move. Just get up and move. Move. Now, I know that some of you are looking at me like, she is crazy. I am not moving. I'm sitting right here. This is ridiculous. She should just move herself right onto her seat and sit down. But think what you want, because you'll be thinking yourself right out of a blessing. Did you know that God honors obedience? So work with me. I'm trying to show you how faith works. Are you dissatisfied with where you are in your life right now? Yes, no, move. Do you wish your relationships were better? Move. How about your walk with God? Do you wish you were closer to Him? Move. How about your prayer life? How about your prayer life? Do you pray consistently or not? Well, if you don't, move. How about your Bible study? Do you read your Bible only on Sunday? Or only when you get the urge to read your Bible? Well, if not, then you need to move. Don't you feel better when you move? Don't you feel more energized? Don't you feel more excited? Don't you feel less stagnant less in a rut, less stressed. Look around. Just look around. Look around. Look around. Not where you used to be, are you? Not where you used to be. So just visualize yourself spiritually. You are not where you used to be. You've moved. Don't you want to move further ahead in your relationship with God? You may feel like you're not worthy of God's blessings because you may feel like the lepers. You may feel unclean. You may feel cast out. But you know what? That did not stop them. They moved. Because you know what the Bible says? That we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Your shortcomings, they are not too great for God to fix. So don't let that or anyone hold you back from making that move. It starts with you. Just imagine if the four lepers had decided not to go into the city. They began to argue and rationalize about why they shouldn't go in. Well, I don't think we should go in because of this. Well, no, man, I don't think we should do this. Well, man, I think we ought to stay outside. Well, maybe we ought to go tomorrow. You know what? Next week. We'll go in next week. That's what we'll do. No, man, why don't we go next? No, they said, you know what? We're going to die out here or we're going to die in there. Either way, we're going in. And that's what you have to tell yourself. Regardless of what it's going to look like when I get there, I'm moving. Regardless of what people say to me, I'm moving. Regardless of how you look at me, I'm moving. I'm moving because God told me to move. I can't sit here and die. Why am I just going to sit here? Why? Get up. Move. Do what God has told you to do. If God told you to open a business, do it. If God told you to speak to that sister, do it. If God told you to write that song, do it. Do what God has told you to do. Move in Him. Amen. Move in Him because you will have people in your life that will try to stop you. They'll tell you that you should wait. Why don't you wait till next week? You sure you want to do that? Let me help you. And these people will stop you, hinder you from getting your blessing because then you'll get to thinking. You'll get to doubting. Well, maybe I don't need to do that. Well, maybe I don't need to move forward. Maybe I don't need to come to church more. Maybe I don't need to pray more. Maybe I don't need to read the Bible more. And they will talk you, and you will talk yourself right out of moving forward. And then what? Right back where you started, just like those four leprous men sitting outside the city. So God wants you to get up and move. Move into the city because what you need is in the city. What you need is in here. It's not out there. So I want you to just take that leap of faith, launch out in the deep, and amen, get what you need from the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Right where you are, everyone standing, praise God. Every head is bowed and all eyes are closed. Dear, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God for His word on today. Hallelujah. Many of you, He's spoken to your heart. Glory to God. I ask you to make that shift, make that move. Glory to God. And today, right where you are, amen, you may have a need. There may be a concern in your life right now. You say, Pastor, First Lady, I want to move, but it seems like it's so difficult. And God wants to give you the strength this morning. He wants to give you the ability to do just that. Hallelujah. He wants to move you into a new direction, to a greater anointing, and to more faithfulness. And no one can do it but the Lord. So if there is one here today, I just want you to lift that arm where every hand is bowed and all eyes are closed. And you're saying, Pastor, I'd like a little strength to do those things. I want strength to be able to make that move. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hands. Praise God. We're going to believe God even now. Praise God. To work a miracle in your life. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the move that you're about to perform in my life. Those that have raised their hand right now, God, you know who they are. God, I pray that the Spirit and the power of God rest upon them in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Don't let them leave here the same, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let the power of the word take root. Hallelujah. And we believe it, God. We believe that it's done. We believe that we're moving into newness, God. We believe that we're shifting, God, into a better place right now in the name of Jesus. We bind every hindrance, everything that comes to hinder me growing, everything that comes to hinder me being all that you called me to be. We bind all of those things in the name of Jesus. And God, in agreement right now, we speak the power of God on our lives. The power to grow. The power to flourish. The power to do better in the name of Jesus. And I speak it into this congregation. I speak it into every soul that's here right now. Those that are sick today, God. Those that are in pain right now. I pray that you touch their bodies. Those that are discouraged, those that don't know which way to go, I pray for wisdom and understanding, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And we thank you for these things. We thank you for what you're doing right now. Come on, let's just thank you for a minute. Come on, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm new. I'm moving. I'm shifting. I'm in a different place. Come on and thank him. I'm in a different place, and I thank you, God. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in my life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Ah, hallelujah. Glory to God. He's a good God, saints. He's a good God. He's got it under control. No need to be discouraged. No need to worry. God has this. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Didn't we enjoy the word on today? Amen. Didn't we enjoy the words? Thank God for our own sister Hornbuckle. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful word on today.
I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this message. Know that God loves and cares for you deeply. You know, we all have struggles in our life, tough times, and much more. But God is about to do great things in your life. Remember the scripture found in Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's your season for breakthrough. Don't give up. Don't stop. Trust God to bring you through. God bless you.
I would like to take the time to thank all listeners of the Lily Kojic Podcast. I pray that you or someone close to you was truly blessed by the messages that we bring to you weekly. As we go forward, we ask that you share the podcast with as many people as possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 states, "So neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God gives the increase." Our goal is to expand this ministry to reach more people with the good news of the gospel. You can help us achieve that goal by supporting us with a donation of any amount. We have a donation button located on our podcast page that allows you to support this ministry. Thank you, and God bless.